Good morning, church. What a great day it is to welcome you as we come together this day celebrating the gifts and the blessings of the Christ child that comes into our world and our lives. I have an added bonus reading of scripture for you this morning. It's the Christmas version of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights and shining balls, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen and in the nursing home and give all that I have to charity, but I do not show love to my family, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crystal snowflakes and attend a myriad of holiday parties and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug a child and sets aside the decorating to kiss one's spouse. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break, pearl necklaces will be lost, and yes, golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will endure. May God's blessing rest upon a twist to the reading of some scriptures for us today. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let's stand and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
And now please allow me to highlight a few announcements. The Sunshiners and Temple Bells will have a Christmas party this Friday, December 27th at 5:30 p.m. The party will be held in the gymnasium just prior to youth lock-in, which Zach, our youth director, will tell you about in a few moments. Please join for a fun night that includes pizza and games. We do have a reminder from the church office. All 2013 contributions must be received by next Tuesday, December 31st, to be credited to your 2013 annual giving statement. Anything received after that will be credited for next year. Also, if you have any receipts that you need a reimbursement or a credit to your annual giving, must be turned in by January 15th. After that date, the credits then will also go to 2014. Zach has a few announcements. While he's coming up, I'm going to remind you that the Outreach Committee is planning a murder mystery dinner, Lights, Camera, Action. They are currently looking for actors to participate in the cast. If you are interested, please contact Krista. Zach?
Just a few things that I would like to remind people of. Today from 2 to 4, we'll be practicing for the children's Christmas service. If anybody would like to be a part of that, we're going to be going over the play that we'll be doing. That is today from 2 to 4. And also, I'd like to just take a moment to talk about the New Year's Eve lock-in on Friday, December 27th. It's going to be a good time. That will start at 8 p.m. and end at 7 a.m. It's just going to be a night of fun. We rented an inflatable jousting pit, so that's just going to be great. It's just going to be a time of fun, real low-key, relaxed way just to celebrate the end of the year. So if you're in youth and you'd like to come, we definitely want you to be there. And invite your friends. Totally allowed to bring friends. You never have to ask if you can bring friends to stuff. They're allowed. All right. Excellent.
Thank you, Zach. Lots of fun activities planned for the youth. I do want to remind you to check your bulletin for any other announcements and other activities planned in the life of our church. And also, I want to invite all of you to join us for Christmas Eve worship services this Tuesday. We do have three services to choose from. Our children's service begins at 5:30, and we have two candlelight services at 7:30 p.m. and 11 o'clock p.m. We hope to see you at one of those services. Thank you, Temple Bells. I would now ask that you please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. Shine forth, dear friends, for God is with us. Sing praise, sisters and brothers, for God is present. Dry your tears, children of God, for Christ has come and comes again.
God is with us in every time and place.
Please continue standing and join me as we recite the opening prayer together. You will find the prayer printed in your bulletin. Emmanuel, let your face shine upon us, that we might sense your presence and rest in your love. During this holy season, comfort and strengthen us in our worship, as we rejoice in the promise revealed in your birth. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
The Holy Spirit has come to fulfill what has been promised by the prophets. A child will be born whose name will be Jesus. He will save the people from their sins. Amen. God will be with us. God will restore you and reveal your salvation. We see the light of God dawning over the land. We light a fourth candle in anticipation of Emmanuel. We will prepare room for the light of lights, even Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Please stand while you hear these words. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. May our Lord add his blessings to these words. Please continue standing and join in our hymn of praise, number 245, the First Noel.
And how is everyone today?
Good.
Keep coming. Some of you come on up here and have a seat because there are more kids coming.
Today my cousin Sophie's.
And your cousin Sophie's here with you today. I know. I met her. So does everybody have their shopping done? No. Yes.
No.
No. Do you have presents wrapped?
No.
No. Yes. Do you have all your baking done?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Are you going to bake a cake for Jesus for his birthday?
No.
Oh, that wasn't a real strong yes. But I'm not so sure that I should encourage your moms and dads to let you bake a cake between now and Wednesday. That might mess the kitchen up a little bit. But, what's that? Oh, but, do you get a birthday cake on your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah? And would you feel bad if you did not get a birthday cake on your birthday? I'll bet you would feel bad if you didn't get a cake on your birthday. You prefer a vegetable tray. Well, okay. I'll go with that. So maybe even a little cupcake might be a good idea for Wednesday for Jesus' birthday. Did we sing happy birthday to Jesus today during Sunday school?
Yes.
We did. Well, I sung in two classrooms with two cakes. You were in the wrong classroom. One was a little round cake, and one was a whole sheet cake.
No, it was a bunch of cupcakes.
Yeah.
It was a cupcake cake.
Oh, it was a cupcake cake.
Yeah.
Well, see, I couldn't tell that because of the icing. The icing hid it. So there were cupcakes inside the icing. Wow. So see, some classes had cake. You had to ring bells and practice, didn't you? Oh, you had cupcakes too? All right. So remember on Wednesday to make sure at some point during the day that you sing happy birthday to Jesus. Because that's why we celebrate the whole season of Christmas. And that's what being in church is all about, is the birth of Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. Continue, O God, to bless them, to use them. And may they celebrate Christmas every year. Bless their moms and dads and all of those who care for them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I've got some cups behind me. We're going to have, grab some more over there. I think we're going to need some more. All right, keep passing them out. And I've got some bulletins here for you.
I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Breath of heaven.
O great God of grace, help us to remember that our gifts today are rooted in that amazing gift you first gave us, a child, Emmanuel, God with us. May we be bathed in the knowledge that yours is the most perfect gift, the one we need the most. Please accept our gifts now with our humble gratitude. We pray all of this in the holy name of the Christ child, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Please be seated. We're coming out of that time in our service when we want to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations among us. Flo passed away last Saturday. That is a friend of Rick's in band director. And I also have that there are cupcakes left over from Sunday school in the narthex. So if you don't want your kids baking a birthday cake for Jesus, you can take a cupcake home. I also had a phone call last evening around 10 o'clock from Bill Snyder that Cora passed away last evening. And of course, all of the arrangements are still up in the air. Bill was thinking that probably her services are either going to be Tuesday or Thursday of this week. So just watch the paper and find out. So she will be at the Snyder Funeral Home. Cora was, she just had a birthday. Did she hit 100? 101. 101? 102. Do I hear 103? I think it's safe to say she was our oldest member. And what's that? Oh, there's another card. Oh, thank you. Prayers for family of Doyle, who died Friday. Funeral is today. Doyle. Oh, Dale. Okay, so Dale, who passed away Friday. Last evening we had our first blue Christmas service here for those who have experienced grief. And the one lady came up and said that it was a year ago on December 21st that her husband had a massive stroke, I believe, and then died on the 23rd. It was not a large group. There were about 20 of us here last evening. But for those who are experiencing grief during this time of year, it was a service that I believe was highly meaningful for them and moving, and hopefully it was healing. So all of those individuals and families and friends who have lost loved ones this past year, that Christmas will now be a little different, or who lose them during this time of year very closely to it, and are grieving through this time, we will want to continue to remember them as well. Of course, all of those of you and family members who will be traveling this week to come, we want to remember to keep you on our prayers as well. And then the rest of the individuals on the back of our worship folder, our prayer list as well. So let us continue to remember them. Remembering that the altar is open during the singing of our next hymn, for you to come up during any time during this hymn to offer your prayers to God. So let us unite our hearts and spirits in hymn number 236, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks. Our gracious and loving God, how good it is to be in your home this day. A fourth Sunday of Advent, and that means that this season of Advent is drawing to a close and that the joy and the celebration of Christmas is right around the corner. A day when the world rejoices. A day when the world receives the Christ child. A day when the world has been changed forever through the presence and the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and King. His life, O God, has changed the world like no single life before. And his life has the power and the possibility to change our individual lives as well. We are invited to seek his presence. We are invited to seek out his teachings. We are invited to live our lives patterned after the lives of the Christ child, the one who the words of the Gospel of John tell us was in the beginning with you when all that is was created, the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Oh God, we pray that in these final few days leading up to Christmas, that we might remember and focus upon the Christ child, his hopes, his promises, and all that he offers to the world and to us, and challenges each and every one of us to live out our daily lives as he would live his life, to share in the hurts and the needs, the joys and the concerns of your people. We come, O God, as your children, seeking your grace and forgiveness today because we've not always lived our lives according to the teachings of Christ. Sin has entered in. And so we pray, O God, that we would experience your grace and your forgiveness, that we would be empowered through your Holy Spirit to faithfully live each and every single moment of our daily lives, that the presence and light of Christ, that it might shine and radiate forth from within us, oozing from every pore within our bodies. Indeed, O God, you desire to change, to transform the world. We pray for the hurts and the needs of the world around us. We know, O God, that there is war, that there is hatred, that there is upheaval. We know that there is tension. We know that there is hunger. We know that there are those who are homeless and on the streets. We know that there is joy and celebration, that there is life, that there is death. We know, O God, that in the midst of it all, you are there. We pray for the hurts and the needs of those individuals, names of people that we voiced this day, situations upon our hearts that just now cannot be made public. You are the one, O God, who hears our voices, who receives our prayers, and who already is beginning to work wonders in the lives and the situations around us. O God, we pray that somehow we might be used through our voices, through our hands and our feet, that we might be used to minister to your people as well. Oh God, we pray that Christ might come alive in the world because his life is a part of ours. Oh God, we ask and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear now these words of Scripture that come to us from the first book of Romans, or from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church there, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for this time of year, for these words of Scripture that we have heard. We pray, O God, that they might anoint our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And in these moments that we share together, O God, settle our hearts, minds, and spirits, that we might be calmed from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. When I was reading this passage from Romans, I flashed back to high school. How many of you remember diagramming sentences? Yeah, Mr. Foltz, look at this passage from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. It is one sentence. That would be a diagramming nightmare. Thank God we don't have to do that anymore. Who wants to be alone at Christmas? No one, unless it's a choice between being alone or entertaining relatives like Cousin Eddie and family and National Lampoon's Family Vacation or Christmas Vacation. If there is one thing that will happen across the United States and around the world this week, it is a gathering of family members and friends to have Christmas together. Whether you are observing the religious significance of the day or not, there just seems to be agreement that Christmas isn't Christmas if you are alone through it all. Some might argue that these gatherings are simply nice traditions that we've developed to make this holiday different from the rest of the holidays of the year. But according to social psychologists, we all, to some varying degree, have a need to belong to others. Now, that's probably not rocket science. It's nothing new. We already know that. We crave being in the presence of other people. We don't want to spend our lives alone. Matter of fact, as the human species, we're not meant to spend our lives alone. We prefer togetherness, hanging out with one another, belonging to a group. We have a need to give affection to others and to receive affection from others in return. It's one of those forces that draws us together. And most of us, we admit, will do some type of connecting throughout the Christmas season and to varying degrees during the coming year. We have this year-round need to belong. With all of this in mind, hear what the Apostle Paul wrote to the early Christians in Rome. He says, through Jesus Christ, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of Jesus Christ's name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So on this Sunday, before Christmas Day, our Bible reading reminds us that we are called to belong to Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? Can we get some sense of that by considering that belonging, what it does for us in general? We belong to our spouse. We belong to our family. We belong to our friends. We belong to a congregation. We belong to different church groups. We belong to clubs. We belong to political parties. And the list can go on and on. Some of these belongings are perhaps by birth, some of them because of our relationships. But many of these groups that we belong to are purely by choice. To whom and to what we belong both affects who we are and reveals something about who we are. If I am a member of the church choir, that says something about my interests, my values, my willingness to participate in worship, and it points to a group of people with whom I can identify. But it also says something about what has drawn me to belong to the choir. It may have been my enjoyment of singing, but more than likely, it was because someone in the choir invited me to join. Belonging to Jesus is always by invitation. When Paul talks about those called to belong, the emphasis should not so much just be on belonging, but on called to belong. Paul understood God's call as a powerful word of an invitation that offered new life, a word that also makes our response to the invitation possible. Of course, the divine invitation is extended to all, to whosoever will. We are all called to belong to Jesus Christ, even if not all of us choose to belong to him. So belonging then brings with it some responsibilities. Your family expects you to show up at the family Christmas gathering, and if you don't, you will have grandma to deal with. It was probably 5 or 6 years ago that my mom and dad joined us for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And afterwards, they said to us, to me, "David, we did not realize your Christmas Eve and Christmas Day schedule. We are sorry. We do not ever again expect you to be with us on Christmas Day." Oh, thank you, Jesus, there is a God. Sometimes on Christmas Day, the last thing I want to do is get in a car and travel somewhere. We'll travel a short distance, but please not 2 hours. When we belong, there's usually a responsibility to love, to uphold, to help one another. There is that sense of community. A biblical word for that sense of community is the wonderful word covenant, which applied not only to the relationship between people, but also to that connection that exists between God and God's people. Covenant is a belonging word. We belong to God and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We are in covenant with one another. We belong with one another to socialize, to support one another. Belonging also brings with it significant benefits. We receive care from those to whom we belong. In our times of pain or need, friends and relatives and even members of the choir, if we're a member of the choir and we belong to it, are great sources of care and support and comfort. In times of joy, those with whom we fellowship and socialize and are in covenant with, they rejoice and are in support with us. Through such times of comfort and support, and in the services of the church, such as baptism, confirmation, Holy Communion, we then are able to say, this congregation and this faith are my home, and I belong here. Now, belonging to Jesus, by comparing it to a human relationship, is difficult to do. In reality, belonging to Jesus Christ is just simply beyond comparison. Scotty Smith, the founder of the community church in Nashville, Tennessee, gets at it in a prayer that he's written in which he prays. Wanting to belong is a constant theme in all of our relationships. A God-given desire, and yet, like all of God's good gifts, it's been broken and distorted by sin. We expect to find in people what you alone can give us, Lord Jesus. For the belonging of all belongings is found only in relationship with you. We praise you today that the scripture is calling us to belong to you, to be accepted, to be known, to be loved. So, what does all of this have to do with Christmas? The passage of Romans today isn't necessarily what we would first go to as an Advent text. It doesn't talk about Jesus as an infant. It doesn't tell any of the nativity stories. And we may wonder why the lectionary committee chose it as a reading on this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday before Christmas. It's probably because of Paul's reference to Jesus, who was descended from David according to the flesh. That phrase stresses both Jesus' earthly and heavenly nature. The Son of God being born among us in our midst. Born among us. That means that not only can we belong to Jesus, but that Jesus also belongs to us. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, that desire to belong, to be a part of, to be with, and you are at the heart of it all. Your Son, Jesus Christ, came down from the heavens to be one of us, to be a part of us, so that we might belong to him and he might belong to us, that we might enter into a relationship with this one who seeks to be with us. Oh God, continue to guide us, to direct us, to bless us, to anoint us, that we might go into the world to share and to proclaim this good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King, this child of Bethlehem. For it's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
gracious and loving God, as we go into the world this week, may we rejoice, for the Emmanuel shall come to us. And might this Emmanuel empower each and every one of us, that we might be your church, that we might be your disciples, that we, O God, might be your servants to the world. Send us forth, for we go, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.